All right, and three. Wait, what was this? This is called Under the Lake.
Under the Lake, yeah.
All right, let me get some pages up here. All right, and three, two, one.
Hello.
Oh, jeez. Hello, Steven.
Yeah, you could, no, you cut out.
Okay.
Dally, you cut out, mate.
I cut out again?
Did yeah. he? I was getting the countdown.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. I heard like Dally saying like, okay.
Oh, that was great. That was awesome.
All I heard was Steven going, hello. All right. And three, two, one. Welcome, everybody, to The Lonely TARDIS, your journey through space and time lords, where four wonderful companions try to find out the latest or try to experience the latest Doctor Who news and episode summaries and topics and everything Doctor Who. And I'm jabbering a little bit, but that's okay. I just had this awesome chocolate chunk ice cream, but I'm ready to just go. I'm loaded up on sugar. I'm Dolly Domofsky. Joining me as usual, Steven Strum.
Hi.
Marcus Beer.
L'chaim.
Yes, and Sean Norton.
Hello. Did you bring enough ice cream for the whole crew?
I did, but then I ate all of it.
That is
not why your internet connection's so bad. It's like 10 tons of rocky road smeared all over your cable modem.
It's either that or I'm downloading updates for my PS4, which usually takes about 6 hours to do. All right, welcome, gentlemen, you fine lads, the Lonely TARDIS. We were going to have our good friend Susan Arendt on this week, but we had to reschedule at the last second. She will be on in a very near future episode, so stay tuned to that. But there's still the rest of us, which we're pretty cool, right? We're pretty good. And holy hell, did a lot happen over the last 7 days since we chatted last with our listeners and with each other about Doctor Who.
Sure did.
Yeah, and I'm ready to dive into it. But before we do, I wanted to let our wonderful listeners know that we've been modifying the format of the show a little bit. So instead of just blabbering on about the episode, maybe covering some news at the end, we're going to jump into the news first, get that out of the way, and then hop into this week's episode, Under the Lake. So let's dive into some news and talk about some of the amazing goings on in Doctor Who world. First and foremost, we have a Doctor Who spinoff show called Class.
Called Class, which is such a like generic title.
Yay!
So, what Class is, for those who those who don't know, it's essentially going
to
be.
You're going to have to explain that for Americans because they have none.
Yeah, exactly. Class is going to be a young adult series set in. The summary says it's a young adult series set in contemporary London. Incredible dangers are breaking through the walls of time and space. Blah 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 blah. It's essentially Twilight set at Coal Hill School. With the Doctor Who flavorings. I don't know
if that's more Buffy than Twilight.
I hope so too, because Buffy was a pretty popular young adult show. So that's what this is. It's actually written by they directly referenced Buffy in Hunger Games, but Patrick Ness is the writer. So there you go. It's a Doctor Who spinoff show, and when news broke last, this is pretty funny. It was last Wednesday, I think it was. The BBC or the Doctor Who Twitter account sent out a tweet that said, "Hey, we've got some pretty big news coming. Stay tuned. It's huge." And so there was all kinds of ideas and theories.
And, yeah, I was way wrong.
We were all way wrong. And then I even thought, you know, there's no way they're going to announce something massive through the Twitter account. It would be.
And they didn't.
And they didn't, which is the truth. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be good for BBC, right? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
So this is a young adult show. It's not
and the last
for us.
One was Sarah Jane, right?
So yeah, it's I don't know. It's I at first I thought, oh man, what a letdown. But then I realized personally, I'm like, well, I can't be upset because this is not for me. I didn't watch the Sarah Jane Adventures. because I really, really wasn't interested in it, so it didn't affect me. This is not for me, but I'm hopeful that somebody out there will love it. So if it gets more people than Doctor Who, I'm fine with it.
I mean, pretty much the same. I even said at the time, I was like, man, we should really talk about that on the next episode of our show. And then I have nothing. I have nothing to add. Like, it's like, okay, well, yeah. I think Steve has some particular thoughts on what would make it good or what he thinks they should do from a narrative perspective, if you want to share those. But generally speaking, I'm just like, okay, well, that's news. So,
yeah, I mean, I think part of this stems from just like not having much of anything to go with the announcement. Just like, here's some words about what we're maybe doing. Like, here's like, we very, very vaguely plotted it out. Here's this guy is attached to it who's maybe more popular in the UK, and I just don't know it, but like, I can't really like draw a bead on like what his stuff has been like in the past. So what's weird to me about it is just like the general tone. Like, I want to know what the tone is going to be like. I want to know if Buffy the Vampire Slayer, does that just mean that it's, you know, a bunch of like aliens and stuff with kids in high school, or are like they going slightly darker with it? Did they have like kind of a black comedy to it? Or is it more of a kind of like, I mean, Mike Williams on Twitter kind of kicked this off a little bit for me, this thought process that you referenced, Sean, where he mentioned a comic book series called Gotham Academy, which is a DC comic going right now about an academy in Gotham City, you know, around the Batman stuff, but not really connected to it in any way. It just, you know, happens to be set there. And the comparison feels really direct, but one of the great things about that comic is that it's just like got this kind of like big giant sense of mystery behind everything. It's child friendly, but it's there's like an air of sinisterness behind everything, like as they unravel the importance of the building and the school and what's happened there in the past. And considering this takes place at Coal Hill, I'm a little bit sketchy on that, just because Coal Hill doesn't like visually strike me as a terribly interesting place to explore. If that's the point of the show at all, like if the show is about them exploring the school and the school is a character unto itself and whatnot, like that might be interesting. But like Doctor Who is a very very much a show about traveling through space and time and running into different interesting creatures and people and things, and like what does that make us feel and what does that make us think, and setting that in a single location has not worked out terribly well in the past. Like, we've seen Torchwood and we've seen the Sarah Jane Adventures. Torchwood had its bright spots, but it was mostly bad. Sarah Jane Adventures never really got
heresy.
Sarah Jane Adventures never really got much of a shot, but even that, you know, and that was never really targeted at us. That was very targeted very young. And just, it's tough for me to get a read on this, just because I want a Doctor Who spinoff to be good, but nothing about this has like jumped up and screamed at me and said like, no, this is why you want to be watching this show, because you're a Doctor Who fan. Like, the name doesn't even really tie into anything Doctor Who related. It's incredibly generic. Like, the only thing that I know so far that like even ties this to Doctor Who is the fact that it takes place at Coal Hill. And just going from there, I just don't know what I want or what I expect from this. And like, I'm not sure who was asking for this, for that matter.
There must be some, you know, business incentive here. They must see some chance to expand the brand, and internally, whether or not they're doing research or whether or not they're just having, you know, high level conversations with Moffat and whoever else, somebody in there sees a chance to do this and sees like this whole untapped market. So we'll see. I mean, you know, I think we kind of covered it for now, and we'll just, like you said, there's really nothing else to go on yet. So, I don't even want to say cautious optimism. I don't even have optimism. I have nothing. I'm just like, okay, well, I guess maybe talk more about what this is actually going to be, and we'll see from there. So
So
it's going to be full of teenagers that you really don't want to see on television. I think, you know, I would have loved to have seen Torchwood come back. No matter what some people on this podcast may think, Children of Earth was a freaking seismic
movie. I love it.
Children of Earth is the bright spot. Like, it's the good Torchwood story, and everything else was bad.
Well, it's like anything. There have been, you know, episodes in season one that were dodgy. Episode two really kind of picked up for me, and season two rather, and I liked season two a lot more. But give me more Torchwood over another, you know, young adult crap or whatever. The only positive I can see coming out of this is that if it means that we never see another child in Doctor Who because they're all in this class, that would be brilliant. Unfortunately, I've got a nasty feeling that we will start to see more of the little bastards from Coal Hill School turning up in the not-too-distant future.
Mm. Yeah, Doctor Who, like, the BBC kind of, like, maintains the idea that it is a children's show, even though it pretty much, it pretty clearly isn't. It's kind of a more of an all-ages-y type thing.
It's a family show.
Yeah, absolutely. And, but yet, somehow, every time they introduce, like, a child onto Doctor Who, it's terrible, with the possible exception of, like, the gas mask kid, only because, you know, he had one line in the entire season.
Are you my mummy?
Yeah, like, but, like, every time they introduce, like, kids as, like, a central plot point or something like that, it's kind of bad. There was, like, the Fear Her episode, there was, like, the kid with the weird dollhouse, it was bad, there was the kids with versus the Cybermen thing, which was just cloying and annoying. There was the terrible In the Darkness of the Night, or whatever that episode is called, from last season. Like, children are just on Doctor Who are just bad. Yeah. Not fun. It's annoying.
Well, like Marcus said, and like Sean said, we're gonna have to wait and kind of and see how this transpires over the next few months here. Hopefully they'll get a trailer out maybe around the time of the Christmas episode, and I hope this isn't a replacement for Doctor Who in 2016, which some are fearing that it might be. We'll cover that maybe in the next episode. We need to move on because there is more important, wonderful news out there. The Lego Doctor Who set has been officially revealed. A couple days ago, the BBC and Lego gave us a hint showing the TARDIS in Lego format, and today the actual Doctor Who set was unearthed, and you could say unearthed because it's Doctor Who and it's a TARDIS and beautiful set.
You can say it's unearthed because it's Doctor Who and the TARDIS.
It's not unearthed, I should say. It's such a horrible pun.
I was wondering where Steve was going with that.
It features the TARDIS, which it features the inside of the TARDIS as well. Clara and Doctors 11 and 12, a weeping angel, and a couple of Daleks. And also has the sonic screwdriver, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more later on. And it's going to retail for, I think they said, $59.99 US. Seems like a lot.
Is that different from like the regular sets? Because the regular sets are like $30.
It depends on the side. Not,
I think they vary by size and property.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty big size. The way they described it was basically 5 inches by 6 inches by 23 inches. So it's
I've looked at these things a lot in person, and the only ones I saw were like there was the character packs, which were like 15 or whatever, but the playsets were all 30.
No, this is not a Lego Dimensions. This is the actual Doctor Who Lego set.
A Lego set. Oh, okay. That makes way more sense to me now. I have Lego Dimensions on the brain because that just came out recently.
And that is when it is $100 to get into Lego Dimensions.
Yeah. The Lonely TARDIS, bringing everyone, including our hosts, up to speed.
So what are your thoughts, Stephen? I'll send you the link, but Marcus and Sean, what do you think about Lego? The Lego.
Well, I just want to say that it's being released on December the 1st. Everybody needs to remember that because that's my birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
There you go. We're going to set up an Indiegogo campaign, a Patreon to get the...
You know what else is on December the 1st? World AIDS Day.
Well, and your birthday are not...
Oh, they knew. Yeah, they paid attention.
Well, anyways, the set looks wonderful. I think it looks gorgeous. I'm so glad they have both Capaldi and Smith in there, and the Weeping Angel, which is just, awesome. So for those that don't know, this was part of the Lego Ideas. I don't know if it was the competition or what it was, but fans would submit ideas.
It's like a voted on thing. Yeah. Like it was like crowdfunded ideas for Lego sets and said, like, which one did you
super
like?
Awesome. They voted on. Yep. Super awesome idea for Lego because everybody creates their own Lego sets anyways. And, it spurred Lego to actually go out and get the license because I think until that point there was the Doctor Who
Yeah, people have been asking for years.
Yeah. Because it's in other companies have the licenses, Minifig, and I'm actually staring at my box right now, a character.
Now that this gets the foundation, and based on the way they're treating it in Dimensions, it would not surprise me if they expand on this in a pretty big way.
Quicker
figures and monsters and stuff.
And hopefully a full Doctor Who Lego game.
Yes, that would be cool too. I like it. I don't know. I would buy it. I don't know where I would put it. It's pretty much the same thing with Dimensions right now, but
I
want it. Like, as a Doctor Who fan, I want it.
Yep.
I think the jump to like a full Doctor Who Lego game is a little bit of a stretch right now.
I don't know. We're slowly getting there. I mean, there's popularity.
I would love it. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think that Lego Dimensions stuff does actually look fantastic. The Doctor Who stuff, but they had
Lego the best way to do a Doctor Who thing, actually.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that all this push for getting Lego into kids' hands is the right way to do it, because the parents may not necessarily go out and pick up Doctor Who stuff for themselves, but the kids, now they got Doctor Who and Lego. They're gonna have a, hate to go back to class, but they're gonna have a young adult Doctor Who show. They have you know, Lego Dimensions, Lego sets. There's all kinds of Doctor Who things that are popping up here and there, and there were just something else like a week or two ago that popped up toy wise. I think it's great. I think it's getting Doctor Who back to its roots, which, remember, it was a kid's show when it first started, and everybody kind of grew up with it. But
getting
kids into it is going to make it that much more popular in the U.S. And I think that one of the more popular levels in the Lego Dimensions has been the Doctor Who stuff, and that's been heavily advertised too. And I've seen commercials on TV while my daughter's been watching television with. You know, there. Oh my God, it's Lego Dimensions. There's Lego Doctor Who right there. It's awesome. So yeah, I think it's great. I'm hopeful that they keep growing it with these Lego sets and other toys, and we get a full on Lego Doctor Who game.
I think honestly, yeah, Dimensions is the perfect testing ground. Mm-hmm. If the pack sells really well and people are really clamoring for more, then it would make sense. I mean, they've already created the models anyway. For them to do it, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, as much as we love Doctor Who, and it, you know, we think it is a, you know, we know it's a global brand in a lot of ways. It's still not, unfortunately, a Star Trek or a Star Wars, simply because of the amount of you know, movies and stuff that haven't been made and so on. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a full on Doctor Who game at some point if the Dimensions pack sells well and is really good. So, Stephen Sharples over at TT, I am looking forward to seeing what you've done, because he's actually he's a friend of mine on Twitter, and he is a huge Who fan, and he worked on this. So,
yep, and that whole new level of Lego Dimensions, it's going to be debuting in November, just a month away. Doctor Who level, so that'll be great too. Isn't it awesome? There's like the first like Lego Doctor Who stuff is actually coming in November with the Lego Dimensions stuff, and then you get this Doctor Who set in December. I think it's lining up just perfectly.
I bet that was intentional.
Yes, I bet you it was. Okay. Let's move on to the final little bit of news. And our favorite, I won't say our favorite Doctor, but one of the shining pieces of the 50th anniversary special was the War Doctor, John Hurt. Well, good friends and frenemies and family, War Doctor is coming back in Audio Adventures. The BBC has announced through Big Finish, who publishes these and puts these together, the War Doctor is going to be John Hurt's reprising his role in 12 full cast Doctor Who audio plays. So it's essentially 12 episodes of the War Doctor audio. But Big Finish has been putting it out for a long time. We're super excited that we're finally getting to see more of John Hurt. I mean, he just appeared in the comic books, which was great. So, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, they're going to have the actual actors and actresses within the from the show reprising the roles. Yeah, anybody have any thoughts about that besides being excited like I am?
I mean, have any of us, like, listened to a bunch of the audio plays? Like, I haven't listened to any of them yet. I would love to, but like every time I try to find them, it's like they're kind of difficult, like they, in the past, yeah, at least they've been kind of difficult to find, and if you can find them in the States, they are incredibly expensive for what they, for like the, like on a minute to, not that that's like a great, like basis for like quality or anything like that, but like on a minute to dollar ratio, like if you compare it to something else on Audible or something, it's pretty bad. It's a, it's a bad deal, and it's just like very expensive, and so I haven't really bought any.
There is a lot that that goes into production, and I've listened to, I haven't listened to the Doctor Who audio audio plays, but I've listened to a few others, and typically they're, you know, they're produced really well, and they remind me of the old radio plays that I've actually been a part of a few of them, like the pre-podcast stuff. But they're going to be expensive, sure, but it's a way to get it's a way to get John Hurt back in our lives.
I think the key is we're just gonna have to, you know, stump up for some and give them a listen. I mean, it's one of those things that
I
think, you know, when I was commuting a lot, it's something I would have definitely bought. But I don't, you know, my commute now is 45 seconds from my bedroom to my games room, so it's just one of those things. But I, you know, I'm definitely down for giving them a try and seeing, you know, what's in it. Anything that expands the universe, anything that brings some of the classic Doctors back, or you know, just gives us some more quality content. And they've had some really, really good reviews over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you know, they kept Doctor Who going for the longest time before Russell T. Davis you know, rebooted the series back in 2005. So you've got to give them mad props for that. So they know what they're doing.
That's kind of a part of it that doesn't really get talked about a whole lot, I don't think. Like, the fact that they were kind of like the torch burning in the darkness for going on 15, 20 years.
Yep. Well, it hopefully we hear more. Hopefully we hear about these coming to the U.S. In a major way, because we are excited about them. They haven't really made their way over too much, but maybe this is the first salvo in heading out this way. Well, let's move on to the actual Doctor Who episode this week. Under the Lake. We have a lot to talk about there. Here's a synopsis, and I'm just going to skim over as quick as possible. When an underwater base comes under attack, the Doctor and Clara must save the frightened crew and defeat an impossible threat. But what is behind these terrifying events, and can they really be haunted by ghosts? So, in summary, that's what you got. What did you guys think about the overall plot? The Doctor and Clara appear, and you know, the TARDIS takes them to this underwater lab or sub or base or whatever it is, and there's ghosts everywhere, and these ghosts keep multiplying when somebody dies. And we're left on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's two-parter, just like most of the episodes this season will be.
Yep.
Does anybody else have anything like pressing to say? Because I
go ahead.
Should I grab
some popcorn?
You go do that while I like just like take a deep breath.
It is under the lake, so you're gonna need a deep breath.
That was pretty brilliant, Marcus.
Shut it down. So first things first, like, was it just me, or was this, like, the most awkward, like, awkwardly acted episode of Doctor Who ever? Not, like, awkwardly acted and awkwardly written in certain ways? Just, like, I talked last week about how they had, like, episode and a half's worth of show to, of story to tell, and split it across two episodes, and I think this one was more or less the same way, with, like, a lot of lingering shots of the Doctor just, like, sitting there and, like, coming to a conclusion and then waiting for everybody else to figure it out, which is always, you know, it's a trope of Doctor Who, is fine, whatever, like, it can be a fun scene, but I feel like it happened, like, 10 times throughout this entire episode, with a bunch of actors who, honestly, just felt like they didn't want to be there. Like, it was kind of a bizarre feeling for me, because, like, I felt like every time anybody on screen who wasn't Clara or the Doctor, just, like, they felt uncomfortable in their own skin. They, like, they looked like they weren't, having a good time. They all kind of like talked in these sort of like clippy, stilted ways, and maybe it was just partially the fact that like all of them had like the most awkward wardrobes in the world too. Like the guy with his the oil magnate guy or whatever, with his belt up to his nipples, and shirt tucked in and everything like that. And everybody seems for some reason wearing shorts underwater, and they're just like these incredibly skinny people in these like incredibly ill-fitting costumes for them, and they're just standing kind of a little too far apart and talking to each other a little too slowly with like too long a pauses between them. I don't know what it was, but that like I just throughout this entire episode I kept getting that feeling up until like the last 5 minutes, in which we got to like the actual premise of the show, which is that this episode is told from front to back, it's told backwards more or less. Like if you look at the descriptions for the script and everything like that, the second part taking place in the past with the doctor like trying to figure out what's going on in the present, and that gives us our cliffhanger where you know there's a ghost of the doctor, that shows up just at the end, even though he's apparently been there for like 30 years under the lake, because that's how time travel works, except then he just appears out of nowhere. That was a little bizarre to me, but like that core idea there, I think is really interesting and really clever and really cool. But like the stuff that we go through to get there just felt extraneous. It just felt like it wasn't meant to be there, and nobody knew what to do with their hands. They were just standing there with their hand like they didn't have any pockets to put their hands into, because they didn't have any lines that made sense to string together the events that led from the doctor figuring this out to the ending. I am intrigued about that finale and like about what's going to happen next week and everything like that. I think that is all interesting, but like just overall, like everything about this episode just felt forced and a little just out of place. It's tough to give a real, like, I don't know why this one just hit me so hard. Like, you know, but like, it just, everybody involved just felt like they didn't want to be there.
I agree with you on the acting standpoint. I wasn't sold with a few of the actors, definitely. But someone on the TARDIS cast has a very different opinion of this episode, a surprising opinion. And I'm going to let that person speak right now.
I know everybody's stunned that I really liked it.
I was actually talking about Marcus.
Yeah, I know. That's the joke.
I do what now?
What did you feel about the overall premise and the push for this episode?
I thought it was fun. I really quite enjoyed it.
Yep.
I would basically, you know, I loved, you know, the point that Stephen made about, you know, the doctor getting it and then waiting for everybody else to catch up was wicked. Loved it. I mean, he is supposed to be 23 steps ahead of everybody else. He's the doctor. And, you know, I can understand these people not looking like they want to be there, because let's face it, would you want to be trapped under a lake with ghosts that kill people and turn you into ghosts that kill people? So perhaps they were really good at acting. And I'll tackle the shorts thing. I mean, again, let's face it, it's underwater. It's not exactly going to be freezing. I'm guessing, you know, machinery and nuclear reactors and stuff like that, it's probably quite warm. I'd want to wear shorts. And I guess they wanted to make the oil guy out to be a douchebag, which is why he was wearing the shorts up to his neck in the future. But no, I thought the writing was actually really snappy. Loved the repartee, the doctor came up with. I mean, it's like, you know, who's in charge so I know who to ignore? I mean, that was a great line, and they were peppering through the entire time. It's like, you know, one of the guys said, "Well, if I die, I know who I come back and haunt." and again, little one-liners that were really, really good. And then, you know, the premise. I mean, it could have been Waters of Mars 2.0. You know, they've gone to the undersea base. They've got, you know, base where you can't get out. Blah blah blah. Yeah, I just thought it was really good. And I got to say, I've had a little rethink over the whole two-parter thing, because I used to hate it. My wife still does, in fact. But I've obviously been watching the Tom Baker ones that they've been repeating, and they've been repeating them in three-hour blocks. And that's the entire episode, the entire arc. Mm-hmm. But you remember when I was a kid, one story would be spread out across six 25-minute episodes.
Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, the fact that we're getting, you know, these two-parters now, and, you know, apart from the quality of, you know, the end of the first two-parter, where, you know, we had the discussion that perhaps it should have ended a little earlier, you know, I think they've been pretty strong so far. I'm genuinely interested to see what these characters are, you know, what's creating these ghosts. And, you know, what's going on? Who brought down the dam? Was it the doctor who caused the flooding? Is it one of those ones where, you know, he's been a naughty boy? And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Moffat gets out of, you know, oh, the doctor's being killed. Have these guys really been killed? This is the question. I mean, you know, are they in stasis somewhere? Is this something like with the Zygons where, you know, there's copies made, but in this case they're, you know, flaky, you know, transparent, ghosty copies.
I did,
you know,
like I did see that dead guy's body floating through the water.
Oh, well, that's actually a good point. Yes, you see that. You see that one guy, but I mean, you've never, you know, like I said, it'll be interesting to see how Moffat gets out of it. And I hope he hasn't written himself up another cul-de-sac where a big red button appears and boom, everything's fine. I'm just, you know,
I think this is a Toby
Whitehouse
story. Yeah. So.
Which, yeah, but Moffat puts his fingers all over it. So again, I'm looking forward to the second half. I want to see, you know, mm-hmm. I want to see how they finish it. But you know, the episode felt claustrophobic. There was a nod to Aliens in there.
Yeah.
You know, the Aliens series where, you know, the ghosts are chasing and you're trying to get them into one particular thing. It was actually Alien 3, I think, which is not the best, but still better than the one that followed it. So yeah, I just thought it was good, and it set up, you know, a very interesting thing for, you know, for next week, which is what it's supposed to do. And big fan of the writing. I thought the writing was really nice and snappy. There was a good repartee going across the board. Clara, she was a little more like, you know, wild and woolly this time around.
She seemed a little bit more awake this time.
She did, and I'm
a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it was good, and I'm glad, you know, they resisted the urge to bring Missy into every episode. So thumbs up from me.
You know, I'm in the same boat with you, Marcus. I'm much more positive on this episode than I thought I would be, and I think the reason is Doctor Who has done ghost episode or, you know, poltergeist episodes in the past, and they always end up being this, okay, I get it. It's not really a ghost. It's a hologram, or it's exactly. But in this case, the doctor says these are ghosts in a way. He explains it later on that they're actually some type of receptacle or an antenna. So I'm actually quite interested to see how that turns out in the second half. But there was great dialogue. The doctor was on his game. Capaldi was on his game with the way he delivered the lines, and he was just ultra snappy. The comebacks were quick. The dialogue was definitely peppy. It was lighthearted. At the same time, that claustrophobic feeling was there. And the way they shot it, I found this really, really interesting. And go back and watch the episode if you get a chance. It's free online, I think, right? They kind of shoot things where you don't see a ton of the floor. You see more of the ceiling, which makes things look a lot lower and top heavy, so it does feel like you're underneath something. So I thought the elements there of how they shot it was actually really well. And then I love the idea of them trying to trap these ghosts, these creatures, in that kind of containment unit. There's a little bit of Ghostbusters thrown in there, and it just seemed like a fun, albeit a slightly scary, claustrophobic episode. And I was glad to see it. And then that cliffhanger was terrific. You know, we have the idea, all right, well, hold on a second. We got to go back in time and figure this out. But in order to do it, and unfortunately, the thing that the BBC does is make just the worst trailers, like the least spoiler-free trailers for the next episode. I think everything was ruined the minute this episode ended and they showed the trailer for the next one. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff happening here that just got ruined for me, but
I would actually disagree with that one, because I watched it through, and look, we know the doctor, you know, the second half is going to show how the doctor ended up as a, you know, as a ghost or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's just going to show him going back, and that's basically, I think, it, you know, this is what that's what they showed from it, is those, you know, some of those bits.
Yeah, but the stills they've been showing from the episode, they're already,
don't watch them.
I can't not watch it, Marcus. It's drawing me.
Why? Yeah, you a 12-year-old?
Oh man! Yeah.
Look, I've stopped. You know, I've stopped looking at the stills. I've stopped looking at the you know the trailers, and you know I'll see what you know what a sneak peek of what's happening next week after the episode, yeah. And then I'm done because I want to enjoy my Doctor Who.
For as like wildly backwards as all of the opinions are this episode, well, with the exception of Dally, who seems more or less the same. You know, you like the stuff and you dislike some stuff. I want to hear what Sean thinks.
Yes.
I am super curious.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Steve, for that completely unprovoked endorsement.
I'm legitimately super curious. I really want to know, because I didn't think I was going to hate this episode so much, with it being a Toby Whitehouse episode.
I didn't think you were
going
to hate it this much either.
Yeah.
That caught me off guard.
It caught me off guard, so yeah, I want to know what you think.
Well, first of all, with your opinion, and taking the episode, I 100%...
It doesn't matter your opinion, Steven.
Get it. No, of course it matters. I just don't get it. Like, the way you're talking about the acting and everything like that, it's funny to me that you can see it so differently because I just didn't see that at all. From the minute he shows up and people when his psychic paper kind of, I don't know if it betrayed him or it wasn't necessary in the moment. So it was kind of like a nice play on how it usually works out. And they know he's from UNIT and everything like that. And the one girl who actually recognizes him is excited and stuff like that. I don't know. I thought the acting was pretty good, or at least not bad to the point where I noticed it. You know what I mean? And I don't know. And I thought it was a really nice touch to not only have somebody actually doing sign language, but to have a cool little bit where the doctor's like, shut up, I know sign language, I don't need an interpreter. And then he's like, actually, I don't. It got deleted for some binary language. Now it's in my brain or something. That was great. He knows everything all the time, and now all of a sudden he doesn't. I thought that was a nice nod. Like Marcus was saying, there were lines like that splintered throughout the whole – or sprinkled throughout the whole episode. And it was great. He's like, who are you? Oh, yeah, you're an idiot. And why is this guy still talking to me? And just the reverse psychology of you're men of military and you're a man of science and whatever. Why would you guys want to figure out what's going on down here? That's fine. You're just going to get in my way anyway. It was just so smartly written, and just thoroughly enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And that's not even touching on whatever weird stuff they're starting to hint at with Clara, right? And going native and everything like that. Which could probably be a whole conversation for us by itself.
That whole line felt completely out of nowhere to me, the whole don't go native thing and there's only room for one doctor in this TARDIS is it felt they were kind of playing off of that a little bit in the very first episode of the season with Clara saying we don't always need to call the doctor, but it had been so long since anything that had been mentioned and then he just says it out of nowhere because they happen to be in the TARDIS and they have to have a moment alone. I didn't see anything that prompted that, and it just felt so awkward and so out of place to me.
So I want to put a pin in that for just a second because I just want to finish my reaction to what Marcus and Dolly were saying. The Ghostbusters vibe, the aliens vibe, all that was really cool. I really liked that the science just seemed good this episode. It didn't seem too wacky, just kind of slapped together. Don't worry about it because it's Doctor Who. The Faraday cage and the radio signals and all that other stuff, I thought it was really well done. And the fact that, the guy couldn't put his helmet on in time, right? Spoilers, everybody, he dies when they flood his cage, right? I don't know. Everything really seemed to gel in a way that just showed that, the script was solid. Or I'll use a line from Marcus here, Moffat's fingerprints and touches didn't seem, if they were there, they didn't seem too bad this week, right? And it just seemed like Whitehouse had another really solid episode. And I know we say this sometimes as well, but it kind of had a vibe of classic Who. These guys were saying here on our show, mm-hmm. Underwater base, sealed off from everywhere, a couple corridors to run down over and over again, legit scary monsters, and you got to figure it out. And that was cool. And I also liked that they immediately, threw away, it wasn't Zygons, it wasn't holograms, it wasn't the Nethersphere, which I thought was a nice little callback to last season. These are he thought at the time anyway that, or at least he pretended to think to us, that they were legit ghosts, right? And it wasn't some sort of hologram, it wasn't some sort of distraction. And I thought that was really cool too. It seemed to just hammer in, okay, this is the legit mystery of the episode, and then this is what we're gonna figure out. And it wasn't, some sort of slapdash bait and switch or anything like that. At least not yet. I mean, with all these two parters, who knows? Next week maybe they'll cock it all up and we'll all come back and be like, well, that first part was really good, except for Steven. But they kind of
No, what's going to happen is you're all going to hate next week's episode, and I'm going to love it.
And it's I've been saying, it's interesting because obviously we know he's not going to die. You know what I mean? Just we knew the TARDIS wasn't going to blow up and whatever, in with the Daleks. But it's the journey getting there that can still be super enjoyable when you know how things are going to play out, or at least that, you know, somebody's not going to die or whatever. So we'll see. I think it's a great setup for next week. Mm-hmm. And I'm very curious to see where it goes. And now, to your point with the Clara stuff coming out of nowhere, I think that kind of has to happen at some point, because things, you know, have to start somewhere. And the fact that we're seeing her, or seeing him, notice that something's off with her, I think is very telling.
Yeah.
And I think it was done in just a subtle enough, but just a touch of, like, on the nose, that it's still, like, it didn't go too far in one way or another. Clearly something is up. You know, I don't know if she's shutting out life because of all the stuff with Danny Pink, or I don't know if it's kind of like a drug addict.
And they brought that up.
He mentioned that she should get a new relationship, but they haven't mentioned him by name. Although Missy did say that she vaporized her boyfriend, or is he still dead, or something like that. So, and Clara was super pissed. So
for 5 minutes, and then she was just running around following Missy.
And she's addicted to that Time Lord magic, man, and adventure and stuff. And I think it's very, very, very interesting that the Doctor of all people is like, well, you know, you got to slow down, like. Don't get native here. Don't become like me. There's only one me. Like, chill out. Find a hobby, this, that, whatever. She's like, no, let's go and risk death and solve adventures. And everything's great. And you can I think they're just setting up really interesting cracks there. And I'm actually very curious to see how that's going to play into her departure.
Yep. And it's a big cliffhanger this week. And we'll see what happens heading into this next episode. But I know we're going to have to wrap up here shortly. But
what do you think is in the box or the casket or the cryo tube or whatever that is? Do you think it's the pilot?
I think it's a doctor.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's the doctor, and he's using the ghosts to send a message to himself.
Yeah, it's the doctor, and like the stasis pod like lets you project yourself, and that's why he's not really dead. But then like by being near the pod, you become a ghost or something. I don't know what they'll say exactly, but yeah, it's got to be it's the doctor in the.
I got something to throw at you.
Sure. Besides poop.
All right, first of all, I think Clara has a death wish. I think I think that's what's going to happen. That's what we're going to see towards the end of the season. We'll see Clara die.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Get herself killed.
Yeah, I mean, she'll basically go off and do something really stupid, or incredibly brave and noble or whatever. And then the other thing is, have you noticed when you look at the ghosts with the darkness around their eyes, they look like Davros?
They kind of do.
Oh, yeah, kind of do.
Well, so it's interesting you point that out, because like I actually looked so something I noticed is that when they move left and right, and you can kind of see like the inside of their eyes, they're hollow. Like there's nothing in them. Like it's not like that their eyes are just like blank dark circles or anything like that. You can see into them and see the back of their head through their eye sockets. There's no like brain or any matter in there. It's like they're just made of paper. I don't know what that means, but it was something I noticed.
It'll be interesting. And I don't know if you guys have touched on this too, but they were awesome looking. Like the effects for their ghosts and the way they could pick up weapons and face. I mean, you know,
I really like the scene where they like walked into a room and the ghosts were all like half phased through matter and stuff like that and just standing there. I thought that was a good scene. Yeah. I thought there were good parts of this episode. Yeah. Like, but it's just that I thought they were spaced super far and few and far between, with a bunch of like weird, stilted, awkward like moments between everybody else that didn't really make it. Which I didn't necessarily buy that it was just like, well, we don't want to be here because, you know, we're underwater, because they were underwater for 3 days, and like the only thing keeping them down there was apparently like that they were worried about getting paid, like that douchebag guy that they didn't seem to respect that much, because that one lady even says like, I'm in charge, and then he says like, no, I'm actually in charge, and they're like, whatever. But like they apparently stuck down there because of him anyway, and then he says like, yeah, I made that call, and nobody says anything. They're just like, yeah, he made that call, so we all decided to stay down here with ghosts for 3 days.
Did they say 3 days? I was under the impression
the screen pops up and says 3 days later.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay.
I wonder if I wonder if it's because the doctor kind of touches on that too later on when he gets psychological with them. Maybe subconsciously they wanted to stay.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. Like if that gets tied up in the second episode, I'll buy that. Sure, 100%.
Maybe. I mean, I definitely get where you're coming from. I didn't even think about that. But I think in terms of the questionable things that we see on the show, I think that for me anyway, that would be way towards the bottom of the floor.
Yeah.
Another minor thing that bothered me about this episode: did I just wanted to say this. Did anybody think that the ship just looked cheap? Like, it didn't look like on the inside it looked, you know, it was completely like sparse and empty and white and not in like a futuristic-y way. It just looked like the inside of like a big styrofoam container, and then the outside of it just looked like they had like strapped like cans to the side of like a model.
And the entire time that they were standing inside the ship, they never noticed the compartment underneath.
They never noticed the compartment underneath. There's like the whole, like there's a lot of like weird, I mean, and again, this could just get explained by like, you know, magical subconscious word power thing. But like the fact that like everybody goes inside of it except for that one guy. And then just like, why? Because it's not safe. Why is it not safe? They literally checked everything and found out that there's no radiation, there's no nothing. Everybody has gone in there, everybody's fine, and he's still not allowed in there, and he's still.
So there's got to be something. There's got to be some hook to that. I was just going to bring that up. That there's some hook that he specifically is not allowed in there.
If there is, absolutely. Like again, I'll buy that, but it just seemed like one more awkward, like brushed aside thing in an episode that kind of felt like full of that to me. And you know, they got to that a little bit, like with, because I thought the reveal of like the doctor figures out like the sword, the temple, all that stuff, and is like, really? Like that seems like a really fucking huge leap of logic. But then he says like, oh, it's like a subconscious thing that it's telling me that these things, because like it doesn't that seem weird? And it's like, okay, yeah, I'll buy that. And then if that actually works as like a catch-all excuse to explain a lot of this other stuff, maybe I'll like this first episode more in retrospect.
Well, here's what our listeners are telling us. Here's some tweets. Alan Paxton says, oh, well, it was a blip this week. An interesting idea, sadly lacking tension, but had a good cast and good creature design.
What?
But time travel used to solve/further the story. Here's hoping part two does better. Also, the Sonic glasses need to fuck off.
Yeah, fuck the Sonic glasses. Oh, my God. I was having a conversation with somebody about those last week about how, like, maybe the BBC just, like, wants to have a cheaper thing that they can market, like, for the holiday season. Like, it's something that's cheaper to produce and sell than...
It may be, yeah. I was leaning towards that, too. Very, yeah. I mean, they're totally ripping off Ray-Bans too. Our good friend Annalise says, kind of loving the hell out of season 9 so far. Capaldi rocks. Cool first part. What the fuck did the doctor do? What? Another good friend listener, Postmortem Dad, says, disappointed, but knew it was coming. The sunglasses are a thing now. Also, I called it early on when the crew listed off the differences between day and night. Magnets. Which is also a good twist there. Oh, and it wasn't much of a cliffhanger. We know the title character isn't going to die. I don't think the cliffhanger was there. I think the cliffhanger is the...
How do we get out of this one?
Yeah. And then,
that's what it always is.
Yep. Chris Cunningham says, Sonic sunglasses, for fuck's sake. And then finally, Mark Griffith says, I thought it was okay, but I don't have any real opinions on it until they see the second part next week. Oh, a lot of folks are saying they want to wait to the second part. And
folks are saying,
agree.
Fuck the Sonic sunglasses, is what they're actually saying.
Yeah, they're all saying it. I'll wait till next week, but fuck the Sonic sunglasses. I think that's the general. I'm enjoying the season so far. Let's give our final rating so we can...
Well, I do have one question.
Yeah.
I know we're over here, but some people love it. Some people say that there's no tension or whatever. I'm very curious, for those who don't think there's tension, what would they do in a Doctor Who episode to create tension? You know, and maybe that's something we could pick up next week and make it kind of a topic of conversation. But
yeah, it's a great point.
I'm very, very curious when people say there's no tension, what they would do differently.
So for those of you that didn't feel, tweet at us or leave a message in our Facebook page or on our post on our website on lonelytardis.com, telling us why you felt there wasn't any tension, and then we'll look at those posts and chat about it.
And or what you think.
Yeah.
Creates tension in a Doctor Who episode.
Exactly. Well, let's give our final ratings and our final thoughts so you can get out of here and get prepped for next week. I'll start with final thoughts from Sean Norton and your rating out of, let's say, 5 ghost magnets.
Ghost magnets? Okay. I thought it was good Who, and I thought there were a lot of really good, smart, clever bits throughout it in addition to a solid story. I thought it was a very good first part of 2 parts. Bonus for the cards. I don't know if we talked about the cards, but when Clara handed him the cards, it was fantastic. I was laughing out loud.
Yeah, that was great. That was wonderful.
So I thought that was really great and just brought home again that he's not human, you know? you know, you get used to him and stuff, but he's just not, he's not us. So that said, I'm going to give it a, as of this week, as always, I reserve the right to change this next week, 4.5 out of 5 Ghost Maggots.
All right. Steven, what do you give it? And what's your final thought?
I mean, it's 2, I guess. Like, it's not, it's not good. Like, I don't know. I didn't like it. Like, in a bizarre twist for me too, because I like actually quite like Toby Whitehouse. He did the last episode of Doctor Who that he did that I remember him doing anyway is The God Complex, and I love that episode. I think that's fantastic. One of the better episodes of the Matt Smith era. Yeah, this episode just did nothing for me. Like, I think it was partially the actors, and I think it was partially just like a lot of writing that needed, that was just circuitous. The Doctor is, you know, different. The Doctor, yeah, has his moments and his weird little quirks and everything like that, but I felt like this episode fell back on those quirks and on those cliches as a crutch to fill time. I think that was it's kind of the ultimate thing that, like, is my problem with the writing. And my ultimate problem with the acting is just that, like, nobody knew what to do with the material that they were given, which was just, like, a lot of, like, bouncing back off of those cliches over and over and over again. And just the weird pauses between it and, the like, the ways that they held themselves between it and, like, the ways that they talked between it. And, like, it was a bunch of, like, bad interstitial material with good moments in between, like a couple of good lines, a couple of good twists. I thought the core premise is still really strong and could lead to a very strong second episode, but I think this first part is bad.
Very interesting.
I'm going to go next, and I'm going to say I really enjoyed this episode. It was fun. There were some lighthearted moments. I loved the Doctor and the cards. Again, it was him being less of this unknowing asshole and now more of a Clara's trying to humanize him a little bit and give him some positive spin on humanity. A lot of quirky moments. There were some jokes, there were some puns, there was a lot of great dialogue, a lot of snappy dialogue, peppy dialogue, which I love out of the Doctor when he's able to just spout things off. And you're having trouble, like, I'll have trouble keeping up with him sometimes, but I love that. It makes me think. It actually makes me pause the TV, rewind a little bit and say, what did he say? Oh, I get it. Great. Perfect. And then I'll let it flow again. I don't mind doing that. I can tell it's a good episode when I want to go back and hear what he just said. And then I like the monsters. I didn't love them. I like the ghosts. I love the idea of the ghosts maybe more than the actual ghosts as being kind of this transmitter, transistor, whatever. And then that cliffhanger was great because the Doctor having to go back in time, leave Clara in the present, and she's kind of stuck there waiting while water's pouring in all over the place. And Doctor goes back and, you know, appears dead. I love it. I thought that was really cool. There was some, to me, that was a good cliffhanger. That's the type of cliffhanger I want to see out of a Doctor Who episode. And I love that it's a two-parter. And I'm actually excited and looking forward to this coming weekend's episode, maybe more so than I ever have out of a multi-part episode of Doctor Who in a long time. So
I hope they explain why he showed up just that point.
Yeah. I think
that's driving me crazy.
He has it all planned. You know, he has it all planned. I'm going to give this a 4.5 with the potential to go to a 5 if the second half is good.
Yeah, Marcus. Buddy.
Marcus's turn next.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 4.5. I thought it was a really good episode. I totally take all of Steven's criticisms on board, and then I throw him overboard because I love the guy, but he's nuts.
Oh, back to the water jokes.
Pushing out the airlock.
I mean, that's the beauty. I mean, you know, last season there were so many episodes of Who that were not for me, and it's just that's the beauty of it. You know, something will appeal to somebody at any time. So, writing was great. I love the claustrophobic feel. I love the one-liners and the bounce backs and the alien superiority of the Doctor. I'm genuinely mystified and looking forward to seeing what's in that particular, little thing. Because if the Doctor is in there, and they bust him out in the future, where's the TARDIS?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a lot of good questions to be answered. I just hope that they do answer them and they don't overcomplicate, perhaps like they did last week. Find a natural end for it and move on to the next story.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, next week's episode is Before the Flood, which we now know takes place before everything flooded up. That's it. I hope everybody has a wonderful week. You can find us at Lonely TARDIS. You can find us at LonelyTARDIS.com. Please go to iTunes and Stitcher and everyone rate and review us. And here's the dealio. I'm going to announce a contest next week where I will choose one person that rates and reviews us on the iTunes, the old iTunes. I'm going to send them. I'll figure out something to send them, maybe a poster or something. As long as it's
a good review. Otherwise, he'll send you me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh God.
A few people might like that, but not everybody. Rate and review us, and I'm going to choose live on the episode next week a Doctor Who goodie to give away. Just something I have sitting over here. Maybe a couple things that I'll ship out. So you can find me personally at Dolly Domofsky. Where can we find you, Steven?
At Steven Strom, Steven Strom. Forgot how to spell my own name. All this negativity has just got me flustered. I'm never this negative. I don't know.
That's true.
Sean, where can we find you?
At Sean Norton, Shaunnorton.
And Marcus?
I'm at Annoy Gamer, and you can like my page on Facebook.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there you go.
Ooh.
There you go. All right, Stormy, take us out, my friend. Any way you want to, I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was making the noise. You just couldn't hear it because you can't read my lips. You like the I'm moving my mouth, but you're not hearing it.
Can we do a competition to get an actual intro sequence and an outro sequence?
Yeah, that would be
a good intro. We had a good intro.
We're waiting to get the okay to start playing that intro again, but
I love that song.
Yeah. All right, everyone.
I do like Marcus's idea as well.
Yes, that's a good point. Maybe we'll chat this week, gentlemen, and we'll come up with a way to get someone to do something. All right, take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Ooh. Dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum.